I want you to imagine a snow globe, one of those crystal domes that contain a submerged cathedral or Blackpool Tower or a London bus. Only this one contains a 70s housing estate seen at night. If you look closely through the blizzard of glitter, some of the windows are lit, tiny points of light. And inside one of these rooms, thanks to the extraordinary level of realistic detail the imagination can summon, a boy is being bathed by the light of a television, which is showing an advert about happiness and a cigar called Hamlet, accompanied by a jazz version of Bach's Air on the G-String. I want you to imagine that boy is me. I experienced a Baroque childhood. I only realised this last year when I made a very long overdue visit to Rome, the capital of Baroque. This realisation was sudden and dizzying, which in itself felt a bit Baroque. There was no romantic epiphany. A poet friend of mine wrote recently that all Rome leads to are roads, and I felt the truth of this stricken proverb in a giddy accumulation of details. Walking around the outskirts of the Colosseum, I browsed the atoll of carts selling souvenirs of Rome and discovered a source of so many knickknacks and ashtrays and snow globes I'd grown up surrounded by. Best of all were the small plaster models of the Colosseum itself, an asteroid belt of knockoffs orbiting the mothership, the huge original. Mementos that came in so many diminishing sizes, I imagined them dwindling down towards some atomic scale. Confronted by a more canonically Baroque object, I also found myself thinking about a housing estate 40 years ago. Standing in front of the Trevi Fountain, you can't fail to register the drama of a kind of transformation, the big classical facade suddenly morphing and collapsing away into rough boulders. But I'd felt something very similar in childhood, and after a while, I remembered what this was. The flats that I walked past every day on my way to school had been condemned after barely 10 years of service and were being bulldozed. Each day, I'd study these frightening, unintentional sculptures, big monolithic housing blocks with one end torn away, revealing the wallpaper and anaglypta of people who'd once lived there, all collapsing into a scree slope of rubble. You might think that these things hardly amount to enough to claim a Baroque childhood. Perhaps. But the more I considered it, and the more crossroads I discovered leading from the Eternal City, the more I became convinced that I'd grown up on a kind of aesthetic battleground where the main players were modernism, utopianism, and the Baroque. Take the very buildings we lived in, those flats and houses. Architecturally speaking, these were the modernist rump, a trickle-down of style meeting with the post-war demand for cheap, high-density housing. Brutal, blank, colossal, rectilinear. Except that this isn't the whole story. It didn't exactly feel like this from day to day. When I remember that place now, I do so from an intimate, habitual, lived level more than the aerial view. Almost as soon as the first families had been moved onto the new estate, things started to change. Shortcuts formed desire paths and gaps in fences. Washing flapped on landings. Graffiti began to spring up everywhere like weeds. And there were other flourishes. Front doors were adapted to appear individual. And this was the era of plexi and bubble glass, amber and rose and aquamarine plastics that looked like they'd been moulded on Jupiter, used to create a unique first impression. From the inside, people calling at the door looked like aliens. Indoors, our parents were faced with a problem. The old houses they'd been moved from usually contained a parlour, or what they called the good room. This was the place where visitors were received, a shrine of sofas and glass-fronted cabinets filled with pieces of china, glassware and souvenirs, The walls hung with prints of oil paintings in elaborate gilt frames, the table topped with swags of wax fruit and artificial flowers. In these new flats and houses, things tended towards open plan, and so a piece of furniture known as the room divider came into its own. You'll remember the apotheosis of the room divider in Mike Leigh's famous play for today, Abigail's Party, where it stands both as central piece of scenery and busy backdrop. Room dividers became luxurious reefs of coloured ceramics, knick-knacks, lava lamps, fibre optic fancies and photographs. This modernist housing estate became honeycombed with grottos. Instead of machines for living in, our homes were closer to intricate and exuberant miniature pleasure domes. Of course, the estate outside was very real, and utopia could feel oppressive and miserable. But to the child, these interiors were spaces filled with details within details. Whimsy and superficiality enveloped us. Patterns swirled and swooned. Baroque was in the air too. This being the 70s, sooner or later a young boy would discover popular music. And luckily for me, this was the heyday of the album. I was still too young to be buying records of my own, but one of the great and unacknowledged legislators of pop and rock during this period was the Big Brother. Sooner or later, every Big Brother's bedroom would be broken into and their albums rifled. If I'm honest, a lot of that music washed over me, or struck me with the force of novelty and not much else, the stereo panning from speaker to speaker being thrillingly new and exotic to young ears, although you could argue this excitement in itself was a very Baroque effect. Later on, as an adolescent, I came to reject most of it as the purgative effects of punk and new wave stripped back and simplified things. All the same, the best of that music seemed to contain huge bundles of contradictory forces that, for me, have survived all the vagaries of fashion since. And some of it could certainly be described as Baroque in a strictly musical sense. The German group Can are a good example. Sometimes playing a kind of amplified chamber music, as somebody once said, they were also often capable of creating a great tension in their work by tempering so many countervailing forces and musical styles. However, those gatefold sleeves seem to me now to have been gateways that led away from my Baroque childhood, and I want to return to that snow globe. Up until now, I've tried to avoid using the K word, but there's no getting around this elephant in the room. In this case, a small pink ceramic elephant, for the word is kitsch, and its meaning is almost as slippery and fugitive as Baroque. Like Baroque, kitsch entered the language as a derogatory term. Both started out as the sound of somebody looking down their nose. Here inside my snow globe, surrounded by a storm of glitter, I don't know any of these words yet. The grown-ups who've assembled these cabinets and shelves and walls full of kitsch are not being ironic or subverting taste. That comes later and happens somewhere else. For now, all these amassed, colourful objects are as familiar and important as living things. They have histories. They stand for places visited, often before I was born, and for people who are no longer around. They're also very fragile. This is a point in my life when nothing could be worse than shattering a china cherub or snapping the horn off a glass unicorn with a hard-stopping click. Gathered together, they're an ornamental, delicate extravagance inside the big blocks we live in. And yet, in all their luxurious detail, they could lead the imagination into ever smaller infinities. Both worlds were very real to me then, very available and held in a precarious balance. The objects in our living room were delicate, but most were certainly older than the building we lived in and seemed imbued with texture and warmth due to their age and associations. The larger estate was blank and impersonal, but fragile in its own way too, I realised, as they began demolishing parts of it. To me, this seems like the very essence of the Baroque, or my idea of the Baroque. An enormous or extravagant contradiction in scale, a strange meeting point and tension between things. I think it's possible to make a claim like that without sounding too arrogant, because the term Baroque is hardly a settled one. It's proved difficult to arrive at anything like a consensus among the art forms as to what the Baroque actually is. And this trick it seems to possess of slipping its previous definitions has even led some thinkers to wonder whether the Baroque ever existed. Still, this isn't, I hope, an act of Baroque denial. I think I'm a believer, and I think that my Baroque childhood was very real. It undoubtedly took place in a backwater, a long way from the fountains of Rome, and at several removes from the big cultural and historical currents. In one way, it's easy to think of such a life as a doodle in the margins, that the exuberance and excess and intricacy of those objects I remember was nothing more than a mindless and sentimental accumulation, an unreflective gathering of ephemera and kitsch. I'd argue that it felt far more important and beautiful than that. Maybe it all depends on how you see that snow globe. Does something thaw and come alive in the warmth of your hand as you shake it? Are you looking at a still life, a scene that has been suspended in some preserving fluid? Is it a world in miniature, or does it suggest the cosmos surrounding it? Do you see a fragile object, or a kind of harbour for things, even though it contains its own toy storms? Can its buildings contain rooms where smaller snow globes stand on infinite room dividers? Maybe elements of the Baroque surround all of us in childhood, at an age when we're best equipped to be struck by the contradictions and flourishes and sheer oddness of everyday things, feelings that the arts can return us to later in life, when we've forgotten how to look or how to allow ourselves to be astonished. There was a point in my life when nothing was more exciting and disorientating than waking to a fresh snowfall, its pleats and folds disguising or magnifying the shapes of cars and street lamps and swings, or a burst water main cascading over a concrete square in summer, opening up a crack in the world, or the fireworks of autumn, weightless diadems and shells exploding in the night air above the rooftops. And when you get right down to it, what could be more purely ornamental and Baroque than a Roman candle?
Tonight's The Essay was presented by Paul